Abortion is now legal in Ireland. Still illegal? Last call.
Ivanka Trump faced backlash for posting a photo with her son amid reports of nearly 1,500 missing migrant children. Ivanka says she sympathizes with the parents of the missing children because she once misplaced a Jimmy Choo shoe. Oh.
The EU has proposed a total ban on plastic forks and other plastic products. That shouldn't be a problem since Europeans mostly eat with haunted castle skeleton keys.
Starbucks closed all of its stores for a few hours today to conduct employee sensitivity training, which is a headline you'll probably never hear about Cabo Wabo. Alexa may soon offer users the option of a male voice. It works just like the current version.
Except when you say something to Alexa, it'll immediately talk over you.
The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know, sometimes we really have a lot of fun here at the Trump Report, and this is no exception. If I feel like I can start off with the Three's Company theme, come and knock on our door. Welcome, I'm Christian Blatt, joined as always by Chelsea Galicia.
Hello.
Tamara Brown.
Hi.
And Scott Moore.
Hey, guys.
There's a reason for the song, because
I can't wait to find out. I'm like, what's going on here?
You'll have to tell me. No. I know what the reason is. The reason is that we're going to talk a little bit about the on-again, off-again, will-they-or-won't-they North Korea summit. But you started to get the feeling that North and South Korea would just get together without him. So my thinking was, it's a real Three's Company situation.
Does this mean
that President Trump will go full John Ritter and pretend that he's gay? I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought you meant fall down the stairs.
Oh, that'll happen. Absolutely.
I know. I wasn't sure if he was like Mr. Roper, like who he was in the whole Three's Company thing exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's Mr. Roper. There's Mr. Furley. There's so much. If we could only get the inside of Mr. Furley on this issue. I think the headline at one point over the weekend on the Drudge Report was on, off, on, off, mm-hmm. on, off, on, off. And I think that perfectly sums up what's going on with North Korea. And so I will ask the panel, Chelsea, do you think it's going to happen with Trump involved? Or is he going to just kind of be out there looking through the window like trying to see in, you know, for anybody listening on iTunes, I breathed on the window and wiped it so that I could see.
Well, I think he's got to have it happen, if not for just like the theatrics of having it, the photo. I mean, he needs it to go down. The thing that he's trying to do, I think, is like be that boyfriend who suspects that his girlfriend's about to break up with him and doesn't want to be rejected. So he's like, I'm breaking up with you first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes. Similarly, it could be a tactic that he read in the book that he supposedly wrote, The Art of the Deal, where you close a deal by taking away an option from somebody who's acting hesitant to accept it, right? So you take it away so that it sounds more intriguing or more desirable because we all kind of want what we can't have. So this is an example of him kind of doing his psychological games that, I mean, are effective. They do fall in line with how we know human psychology works. He's got that going for him. But I don't think, I think that he's doing a great job of probably distracting us from other things about is it not happening, is it happening, and I kind of want to like go behind like a curtain and pull it back and say what else is going on here that he is using this sideshow to like distract us with.
Yeah,
because I'm like, how much has Scott Pruitt spent last week? I mean, is that what he's really trying to hide?
Or the numbers that came in from Hurricane Maria, that the death toll is actually 70 times higher than what was originally said.
So I'm sorry, Scott, that sounds like fake news.
I know.
I just want to go on record that those numbers, yeah, it just sounds like fake news.
Wait, so I read the last numbers was 6,000 people, yeah, died. Mm-hmm. Is that
as a direct or indirect result?
Please,
of
no
the
one
hurricane.
Ask me to do 70 times 6,000. It'll take up the rest.
No,
of
no.
The
I
show.
Mean, except from the original number of 64.
Okay, so 6,000. Oh,
it was 64. Thank was God. The original number given?
Although 64 and, times 70 was also, yeah, going to be.
But
hard
doing
for me.
The which we talked about.
That is a lot of people. That is how many people died in 9/11?
Yeah. It's twice as many.
3,000, isn't it?
Yeah. More than Hurricane Katrina in 2005. So there's definitely a lot of issues there that, again, we have not focused on. It's just been put on in the background here, and these are American citizens, and that's one thing out of many things that are going on in the Trump administration that he could be distracting from.
Yeah. Chelsea, have you ever been to the Magic Castle?
I have.
I would think that it's not fun for you because you'd be looking at the magician's left hand or like, where am I not supposed to look? That's where I'm going to look.
How? She knows me so well.
You want to know what the trick is, right? You don't want to be fooled by
for
the trick.
For sure. Yeah.
I know where he wants me to look. I'm going to look over there.
Yes, that's right. I actually went, the only time I went to the Magic Castle, somebody took me when I was studying for the bar. It was supposed to be a distraction, but my analytical mind was such that it wouldn't turn off. And yeah, you're exactly right. I was like looking for the catch.
Did you go so far as to when he said, now trying to get you to look at the right hand, was he like, hey, look at his left hand? Did you ruin it for everyone?
Do I look like I'm obnoxious? I mean, really, Christian? How dare you even ask?
I would like to invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege, if that's okay. I don't know, because you just might get so excited that you figured it out. You know, I don't mean you're trying to ruin everybody else's day.
I think that some people enjoy being fooled by the magic, and at the Magic Castle, that is just fine.
Yes.
In democracy, in the White House, America, not okay.
Not as fun.
And I would be obnoxious.
It's just not fun.
And I would say, look at the left hand, if I knew that there was something exactly going on in the left hand, which at this point is annoying, because I know there's something going on. I just don't know exactly what it is. And there's maybe lots of little things going on in the left hand.
Maybe it's the commemorative coin that he has in the left hand. You have to guess which hand it's in. And
you know. Oh, God, I could care less about silly coin.
Have they produced those commemorative coins?
They had. That was part of the...
You didn't get yours in the mail?
I've gotten several.
With Bed Bath & Beyond coupons? I got mine.
20% off.
I ordered it. I don't know. It's still back ordered. Tamara, do you think that this get-together is going to happen? Is it going to be... I was going to use the word threesome, and then I was just like, well, that's just a terrible visual.
I think a more accurate analogy instead of Three's Company would be Friends, because it's a very Ross and Rachel will they, won't they, on again, off again, on again, off again, North Korea summit and Donald Trump. So let's see. How did that play out, Ross and Rachel? In the end, they ended up together. Nobody here watched Friends.
I didn't want to interrupt.
You were making a statement.
They end up together only because they have a child out of wedlock. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the only reason they ended up, because she clearly loved Joey, even though that was one of the single worst storylines of television.
That was a terrible storyline.
Thing that nobody wants? We're going to put that on your favorite show.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm told.
They end up together on the final episode, so that means I'm going to say, yes, the summit will happen, but it will be forced due to a botched storyline, so that means, you know, maybe, I don't know, something's going to come out of the blue, there's going to be a child star that gets wound up in the mix. I don't know.
Is there any chance that Donald Trump ends up with Matt LeBlanc instead?
Ooh.
It's just a thought. Scott, to backtrack.
No, Roseanne Barr would be pushing.
Yes.
All right. Don't jump ahead. We're not there yet. Now, to backtrack a generation and a decade, Scott, you know.
Oh, what? Because I'm old?
Because I'm old. You know, the first few seasons of Cheers, it was Will They or Won't They Sam and Diane.
Yeah.
And then they did, and then they didn't, and then she was never on the show again.
Yep.
Well, I guess technically until the finale. But anyway, I feel like it's more like that, you know?
I agree. It's not
going to happen, and he's going to end up pining for Kirstie Alley. But
so is Donald Trump Sam or Diane?
Ooh, good question.
Because he's Diane.
He's still the star of the show, so I'm going to say that he's Sam. Now,
but he thinks he's the star of the show, though. That's
true. Now, Scott would expect him to be Shelley Long one day, never seen from or heard from ever again.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, completely off topic, would love to see Donald Trump star in a remake of Troop Beverly Hills. Oh. But.
I was just going to say Troop Beverly Hills, and I was like, nobody else knows that movie but me.
We would have also accepted the Money Pit, but
could we have him do that though, and then he could leave the presidency? Could we at least
is that the trade off?
Could that be the trade off? Let's make it happen,
Mr. President. Hollywood is calling.
Yes.
Wouldn't you rather do that? Yes, I would. Do you think it's
going to?
Anyway, it was a sort of a we went around the Cape of Good Hope to get to the question I want to ask you. Will it happen?
I'd have to say no, but it seems that they're trying so desperately to make it happen because he wants to be seen as legitimate, and both of them are the same.
Trump or
Trump, as far as legitimate as being able to broker this deal and seem like a real president and have this moment sort of like Nixon with China.
I think you could use the same phrase to describe
Kim. Well, that's what I was going to say, because they're both the same in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so they're both looking for legitimacy, and I feel like they're both trying to get this. So I feel like it will. It's just ridiculous the way they're going about it. And again, it weakens our resolve by the fact they're like, oh, no, it's canceled.
But I think they both love
back.
Attention.
Oh, it's canceled. But it looks bad for us as a country overall, again, that we go back and forth on this situation.
But it's keeping them both in the headlines.
Yeah.
And they love it.
So that's why I'd say I think they will. But it will really come down to if Trump's advisors feel like there's too much risk for him to do this, much like the Mueller going on.
I don't
under
think
oath.
He'll pay attention to the advisors. He wants the photo op of him meeting with Kim Jong-un and making it look like he has ushered in some new era of
right.
something or other, which
but that's what they're concerned
knows,
about. Is he going to give too many things away? You know, he claims to be the best
deal
maker.
He'll always say that he never gave anything yeah. away. Although I was recently watching a video of clips from years ago during the Obama times of how Ann Coulter and crew were giving President Obama such a hard time for even talking about Kim Jong-un, like to meet with him. Now we're cavorting around with dictators. Great. And I wanted to be like, can we all watch this and see like how differently we treat this president from the mm-hmm. last president? By we, I'm saying Ann Coulter
and the media and the hypocrisy, like you said. It was like if Obama was doing the same thing right now, the GOP would be definitely up in arms over this.
Panties in a twist.
I mean,
it's
it's all crazy to think about because of the simple fact that the only dictator that Obama liked was Castro. I mean, there really wasn't close to anyone else. Not even Hugo Chavez. It was really just Castro. But then, I guess that's done away. Nobody gets to go to Castro or Cuba anymore.
What do you mean? People are going to Cuba.
I went, and I'm going back again this
Mexico.
Year.
Mexico. You still can't go.
No, you can.
You can now?
Yeah.
I thought we had that rolled back.
No, it was a lot of, hot air by Trump. You still can do it. It's just a little bit stricter now. But I'm going back again this year. It's a great place.
You heard it here first.
We heard it here first.
No,
you can
still
only
go
get
cruise
there
ships.
By canoe, but you can go.
Well, I mean, you used to only be able to go there by raft, or mm-hmm. maybe that was you left that way. I don't know.
I think it's important for Americans to be able to go and interact with the Cuban population because they do have some hardships down there, and it's important for them to be able to
I don't know
money.
If Americans are going to care. We don't even care
about
ones who are actually American citizens
no.
who have hardships.
But
so.
I'm saying Americans care about spending money and having their daiquiris where Ernest Hemingway was at and those sort of things that, you know, typical American tourists do. But that still trickles down
and
helps.
Seeing those red classic cars. Those,
yeah, exactly. And that helps those everyday Cuban citizens.
Yeah, but seeing the classic cars is supposed to be something that we're excited about. But isn't it just because there's no newer cars anywhere
right.
on the island? Mm-hmm. So isn't that
they're all
really
Frankenstein?
It's more a testament to the yeah. fact that they're sort of stuck before the revolution.
But it's also impressive
yeah.
to see what they've been able to do with these cars and keep
it's
them
true.
Going.
Well, I expect a full report.
Yes.
Whenever you do go, do you know when you're going? Or is
in
it
the fall.
In the fall. Mm-hmm. All right. He won't say any more than that because the Justice Department.
I'm going legally.
By then, maybe not. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're
going legally to Guantanamo Bay.
You can legally go there.
That's true.
You can. You don't have to.
Yeah, I've known.
Commit a crime first, I guess not. No,
I've known comedians who performed there, not for the detainees, but troops working.
I mean, I guess you could send a bad comedian for the detainees if you really want to torture them.
Yeah, but Dane Cook is busy.
I found my
yeah.
audience.
Exactly.
Finally. Look, I think that they would like
a very captive audience, too.
I think they would like
You're not going anywhere.
Your Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I think they would.
Now, this section of the show will be sponsored by staying off Twitter. That's right, Twitter. You don't need it. Here are some reasons why. Yesterday was Memorial Day, and our president, at real Donald Trump, because he doesn't have enough followers, he tweeted this. Happy Memorial Day. So strong so far. Doing well, Mr. President. Those who died for our great country, okay, getting a little nervous, would be very happy and proud, okay, I don't like where this is going, at how well our country is doing today.
How did you know that this was exactly the narration that was happening mm-hmm. in my head when I read this?
Well, there may or may not be a bug placed somewhere.
Are the okays in there?
No, but you'd think that they would be. Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud at how well our country is doing today. So that's not great right there. That is not a great thing to say. Unfortunately, it goes on to say, best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics.
So uncomfortable every time he says blacks.
Well, especially because he capitalizes it. And I believe Hispanics is, well, also that's a term, that's like Oriental, right? That's not really the en vogue term anymore. So blacks and Hispanics ever, and by the way, ever is all capitalized, and women in 18 years. But he started to run out of space because 18 in years, there's no space. rebuilding our military and so much more. This tweet is terrible. But here's how he ends it. Nice! Exclamation point.
Nice.
Where do you go with this? Veterans groups are very unhappy with this tweet. And people who are usually staunch defenders of the Donald or the Prez. Really just think like, you know, it's tone deaf. And it's just, there's a lot of times where you can capitalize on, you know, some self-gloss, some self-promotion. I think Memorial Day, here's another occasion where you should have Veterans Day. That's another one right there. Just off the top of my head, those are the two. Maybe some others. But I don't know. Scott, you hear that. Nothing's surprising anymore.
Well, I wrote him back and I got a lot of people riled up because I said he was sick. Back to the tweet.
Do you mean the way that like Hillary was sick during the election?
Mm-hmm. Like sick and mentally.
Oh, it's interesting that you use the term tone deaf because that was how Hillary was described by some people.
But
I do like the sound of tone deaf Trump.
Yeah,
it does.
It has a nice nickname. Like he always likes to give people nicknames. It's a great nickname for him.
Sounds like
it's his reverse initials. TDDT.
Mm-hmm. You just blew my mind right there.
TDDT.
It does sound like the kind of nickname he would come up with for himself. Except, obviously, the only nickname he's ever come up with for himself is Huge Penis Trump. But what were you going to say
that it really...
Small hands, big... Not so much.
It really did upset me because, again, I thought this was a day that you... This is the day... You know, a lot of times people get confused with Veterans Day, but this is the day where we're recognizing those that fought and died in battle. And for
Memorial, if you will.
But you get confused with veterans, and veterans is more like the living members that have come back, and you know, you can kind of lump and put it all together as for veterans, for those that passed away too. But the fact was, this was a very important day, and he made it about himself, which he always does. But in this particular case, it just seemed even more disgusting than normal to take that moment, especially for someone who never served either, not saying anything because I have not served, but he has not, and to talk about it in that kind of way and try to take credit for a lot of things that, again, had nothing to do with him either. So it was really kind of, it was sick.
I kind of want to like do like disgusting. A little like coaching session with you. Like, I don't really want you to be upset by this because then you will be upset every other day. But then is mine not choosing not to be upset because I'm like, oh, here they it goes again. You know, does that make me numb to what he's doing and that you're actually staying more engaged and more open hearted because you're actually letting these comments bother you?
Well, a lot of them I do kind of overlook, a lot of the stupid things that he says, because I know they're stupid. But when you start talking about things in this situation, people that were killed in battle, and you're using it as a day to take credit for yourself for something you didn't actually do, was really disgusting. And like, there's certain things that he has done which have been really quite disgusting and sick, and this was one of them. And those are ones where I can't just sit there and think that's okay.
Well, I don't think that any of them are okay.
No.
But somehow,
I mean, to where
I've kind of just turned... Yeah. I don't know if I would say I turned off the upsetness thing that overcomes me if I read something that he says or know something that he does. Mm-hmm. Although the other
day, at the same time, you can't let this normalize into
balance.
And I feel like I'm sort of like okay, because the other morning I woke up like much earlier than I ever, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was just thinking about those kids separated from their parents and what they must be experiencing, and thinking like, oh my God, this is how we create terrorists, because we are traumatizing these kids right now at this very moment.
And that was his other tweet that he posted about that, trying to blame everyone else but him. And that was another one. I was like, are you really?
He says the Democrats should move to
low and disgusting
to take what did he say? It was, he blamed it on like it's the Democrats made this a law, which it's not a law.
It's not
it's
a
just
law.
A policy,
right?
And that he at any moment could change.
Yep.
So, commenting on the tweet in question in particular, Tamara, your reaction to you know, the fact that it's still out. I mean, once you tweet it, you might as well not pull it down because it's going to still be everywhere. It's like calling more attention to it if he did take it down.
The funny thing is, I didn't know about it until today. I spent yesterday with veterans at an American Legion all day, and nobody had mentioned it or called attention to it, so I didn't even know about it. Until today. Speaking of Twitter, Representative Adam Schiff was there, and I met him, and I shook his hand, and for some reason, all I said to him was, I follow you on Twitter, and I really enjoy everything that you stand for. And he was like, oh, okay. I don't know why I felt the need to, like, bring up Twitter was the reason that I support him. But
you're like, can I get a follow back?
Yes, I support you just as strongly.
Hey, Tamara underscore?
I support you just as strongly as I support Cardi B. but now that you're aware of it through the informative machinations of the Trump Report.
Without going on a tangent, it's this thing that has been increasingly a pet peeve of mine, which is using the military as a prop. Certain special interest groups will do this all the time with, like, a meme that's a pro-life meme will use a soldier to, like, drive their point home. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the military. And so a lot of times with veteran friends of mine, I like, try to bring awareness to this sort of, like, using the military as a prop. I don't know how to put it any other way, but it's sort of like, if I mention veterans or the military, I mean, granted, it's Memorial Day, so obviously that's what he had to do. But let's say just any other tweet that has to do with veterans or service members and the military in general. And so many times it's just this sort of pull at your heartstrings for special interest groups, where if I mention the military, then
it gets you points.
That gets me points, no matter what I'm saying, and no matter whether it's beneficial to the military or not. And so that's what it just reminded. This tweet wasn't a specific example of that because it was Memorial Day and he was attempting to pay tribute to the fallen soldiers. But that's what it put me in mind of. That's what it reminded me of, which is something that I notice all the time now. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that he ran out of room for the hashtag Make Memorial Day Great Again, because there just wasn't enough room for it.
I mean, you are right. It would be like, tweet, 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 American flag, tweet, 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 military. You know, you put enough of those words in there, and you could put anything else in. And you could capitalize flag, of course, and military, and then, you know, it's
you win.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, nice. if not for the reaction to it and all the retweets, it would be easy for this tweet to have gotten lost, because most of his tweets yesterday were actually about Spygate. So that is actually a great thing to be focused on. And then there's also a series of videos of him speaking on Memorial Day, in case you want to actually watch it.
Was that one of the We Tamed a Continent?
I don't know exactly what's in what he tweeted, but I
really wonder, I want to know if his supporters really, like, they stand behind that. Yes, we tamed a continent, and we will not apologize for being Americans.
Well, I mean, I think that the idea of apologizing for being an American is certainly not something that speaks to the base. But the one thing that you really shouldn't do if your base is President Trump's base is do anything that upsets veterans. Because I think that's people who really like Donald Trump, I think for the most part, are very pro-troop. I don't think I'm going out on a limb with that statement. But then you say something like this, and you have, you know, multiple organizations saying, like, yeah, this is really, you know, this is not great. It's like one of the only things he has to do is
I'm
not even saying that he spoke badly about the troops, but he spoke about the, you know, like you said, Tamara, he's using them for political gain. And it's like, well, no, that's not what this is about. And you know, there's a short list of things that he shouldn't do, you know. And I don't know what the reaction will be. It seems like anything he does it upsets more the general public. Every once in a while, he says something that's going to upset the base. he'll just probably go back out and, you know, I don't know exactly what he'll do. Maybe he'll build a bigger wall now, and maybe they'll be extra happy.
It raised this really great point of, like, we are not going to apologize for being American. Well, actually, we kind of do apologize. We're like, okay, we stole your land, and here's this treaty. We're going to work out a deal so that we can kind of... I don't know if that make it up to you is ever appropriate, but to try and make things at least fair now. But then we're just going to totally ignore what we agreed to do. We're going to build pipelines through your land that leak, and when you try and protest, we're going to shoot you with rubber bullets.
Okay. But you do get to keep the casino winnings.
Okay, but
I'm just saying that's what the argument would be.
We're not going to apologize for being American. Actually, we kind of did. Isn't that what the treaty was sort of for? And I remember during the Dakota Access Pipeline time, being at a dinner party hosted by a surgeon. So you can imagine kind of the people that were there. And another surgeon that I was talking to, a white male, said to me, "How long are we supposed to be sorry for killing them?" Referencing the Native Americans.
Oof,
wow. And I was like, you need to be as sorry for as long as it takes for you to respect the treaty that we entered into with them because of what we did to them.
How long do we need to be sorry? What an interesting way to look at something. Wow. Like,
one, where's the answer to that? Because we can put it up and let people know. Two, I think that in terms of
I don't think being sorry has a timestamp. Like, you are or you aren't. It's not like it's not like being hungry where it gets satiated. It's like you're sorry or you're not.
Right. And you continue to act in alignment with how you acted when you really were sorry.
Well, it's the quote from the great film from the 70s, Love Story. You know what? Being in love means never having to say you're sorry.
Oh,
so we just love them, okay?
Even the actress from that movie said it was a bogus line.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was on Oprah, I remember. That's the only reason I know this. And she was like... worst words ever uttered.
How is Oprah these days? I haven't heard about her.
Oprah. Aww.
I know.
But she's giving great commencement speeches.
But not running for president.
Right.
What you said, Christian, was saying that you don't think you're far going out on a limb by saying that the right tends to be very...
pro-military.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes me... uncomfortable because it's all. I feel like I'm constantly having to remind people that the military is nonpartisan. It does not belong to the right or the left. It does not belong to conservatives or liberals. It is nonpartisan, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Like the FBI, of course.
When one side is believing that they are more for the troops than the other side, because affecting things negatively by doing that, by having that mentality that you care more about the troops than somebody else, that's you're only hurting the troops by thinking that way.
Well, I think the argument in that case is basically that, you know, when there are small minorities of people who do disparage the troops, it is usually not of the conservative bent.
Well,
now, they're
hold
not
on
necessarily
a sec. Disparage
Democrats.
The troops or disparage what we are having our troops do?
I would say both cases. In some cases, yes, it's, the big quote, what was that now, about 14, 15 years ago, was, I support the troops, but not the mission. Members of the military took that personally. It's like, well, that's sort of like a, real half-assed thing to say. It's like, we're just doing what we're supposed to, And so to say that you don't support our mission is actually saying you don't support us. You know, you can say I don't support the person who sends us here. And I think that that's the sort of mentality that you have amongst people who support Donald Trump. I would just have the other thought that ties into this, which is the idea of apologizing for being American isn't necessarily in reference to Native Americans. It's the idea that President Obama, and this is the view from the right, this is just sort of me summarizing, that President Obama basically went on a big apology tour to say, like, so sorry that we're such a terrible country, and I'm going to try and do better. And people don't like when you talk about America that way. I would argue that saying that you need to make America great again implies that it is, in fact, not good. So both of those things, I think, are sort of you know, just pointing at your own country and saying, like, there's so many things wrong with it. But anyway, back to the point you
wanted. Well, to go to the first point that you made, that people saying that I support the military, but I don't support the mission, and troop members becoming upset by that. It's like, actually, I don't want you to go there because I don't think it's worth losing your life over the financial gain that we're going to make.
Unnecessary war.
So in a way, I would say that sometimes, you know, people who don't support us going into other places, who don't support the mission, actually care about the troops more than people claiming to put the military
first. Yes, I think there's a greater sensitivity to that now. Obviously, when you look back historically, if you look at the 70s, all the soldiers who came back from Vietnam were treated terribly. And that was saying, we don't support what you went there for. But they're the ones who did, like, well, you know, I have to go.
Either they were enlisted
or they were drafted. And what they did was, you know, not run to Canada. They were like, well, I, this is what I have to do. And I think ever since then, at least if we got anything from that, it's like, okay, well, we shouldn't have... I mean, at this point, it was really our men who serve. But, you know, our men and women who serve, they should never be made to feel like that. So I understand the place that it comes from. I'm just sort of trying to interject the viewpoint of people who just feel like it doesn't go far enough to say that. But to Chelsea's point, yes, absolutely. It's like, well, I care so much about you. I think, you know, you should be, you know, in the National Guard, just, you know, defending the coastline of Louisiana instead of, you know, going overseas somewhere. But anyway.
Right. And then, too, your second point was about...
I don't even remember.
Yeah,
what did I say?
I was trying to recall that, too. I was like, dang it. For some reason...
President Obama's apology tour, as it is often referred to.
Ah, okay. I'm so glad that you refreshed my memory, because I like that. Again, I don't think apologizing for mistakes you've made puts you at some sort of, like, I hate America. I've tried to use this example before about just because you discipline your children for misbehaving doesn't mean you no longer love your child. You're disciplining them, correcting the behavior, hopefully because you love them. So same thing with America. We admit our faults so that we can improve, and it's not a sign that we don't love our country. So, you know, I think that apologizing is actually the first way that you can actually make any real change. Is you, and I, that's actually what I think that the Democratic Party should be doing.
Apologizing?
I do. I think that the way to begin a new relationship on a higher level with any person would be something like, hey, I'm really sorry that I didn't listen to you. I didn't hear your concerns. I thought I was listening, and clearly I wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better next time. Can we start now? Why don't you let me know what you're thinking? I think that would be cause a huge turnaround.
Are you talking about from the 2016 election and how that went down? Or are you talking about...
I think it had been going on for a while. But it showed up definitely in 2016 as a slap in the face that they hadn't been really listening to get enough people to feel that the Democratic Party represented them.
Yeah.
So I'm all for a...
No, I would say, like, going back to America thing, it's true, because nobody's perfect. No country is perfect. We have a lot of flaws and a history,
as we know. Sounds like commie talk, but I'll let you finish.
And I think it is important, because it does show a love for your country to admit, like, you do love the country, even with its faults, and know that in the big picture, we are going... Well, we've gone a little backwards the last couple of years, but we're going back towards... in the overall big picture, in the right direction, and that we do apologize for some of our past deeds, and that we are growing and learning as people and as a country, and being the perfect union.
I don't see how you can make the argument that we're not going to apologize. I mean, so if somebody's telling me they're not going to apologize for how was it phrased? I'm not going to apologize for America? Is that what you said?
Something up to that effect.
Yeah. So to say, you know, we put our own citizens, Japanese Americans, in internment camps. You're not going to apologize for that?
And
nope.
We did that
you're
with China.
Not going to, like, how do you not? I don't even know how
the way
we've
treated blacks, the way we've treated Native Americans, I mean, women, the way it's gone on and on.
I don't think anybody in the mental health field is ever going to say, yes, the sign of a strong person is never apologizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we take that persona on as a country, we're going to be just as flawed as the most narcissistic person that you've ever encountered.
You know, if there were a slogan when you entered America from another country, it should be like, America, we're doing better. You know, we're not perfect.
We're doing the best we can. We're really trying.
We could be doing better.
Places of business used to have signs in the window that said, Irish need not apply. Yeah. And now you're like, the Irish.
I love every single time a white person brings that up.
Well, I'm using that because it's just like...
I'm not saying you.
No, I know. I'm just using that because it's like... Well, it's like at some point we've hated everyone.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, I could have said Italians too, but you know, they obviously. No, never mind. I'm not going to make a joke about the mob. I don't need anybody showing up in my house. There's some comments in the chat. The Demonaut says the best ways to remember our fallen and current military soldiers is to not send them to wars we don't have a clear objective or mission.
Mm-hmm. Or a good reason for going.
Exactly. Sure. And, unnecessary.
Someone in the chat, just named John. He says, that's why we like Trump. He just wants to wipe him off the map or make peace. There's an interesting sort of, you know, the two-prong approach. Either you wipe him off the map or you make peace. So it's like, well, if you're not going to make peace, I think that there's a catchphrase from an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or someone is just, you know, you're either going to make peace or we're going to leave you in pieces. I think that's what he's going for, in all honesty. And by the way, R. Scott Brown says, Irish slavery, that bullshit makes me pee myself. I didn't say slavery. I just said they didn't want to hire them.
I have a friend that swears that there was Irish whatever.
Wait, really? That's a thing? Yeah. Okay, so
apparently
that's...
it's a very obscure thing.
Well, yes,
that
and there
exist.
I mean, in other parts of the world there were you know, indentured servants that were forced to work, and that was, you know, a lot of British and Australia had taken, but not so much us, but yes, there is some talk of like indentured servitude and things like that Irish were.
Well, anyway, let us know what you think. If you're watching live, you can continue to chat on YouTube. But if you're watching after the fact, you can also chat on YouTube. Or you can tweet us at Trump Report ABTV. Mm-hmm. Now, the point of this section of the show is about how, you know, a lot of times people get in trouble for things that they write on Twitter.
Oh, yes. Can't wait for this.
We'll get to that part. But it's like, there are examples of just public figures. You know, a lot of comedians have lost very large paychecks because of something they tweeted. The biggest example would be Gilbert Gottfried used to be the voice of the Aflac duck. All he had to do was go in and say Aflac once in a while. And he tweeted something about, you know, there's a flood and there were very insensitive to people who I think had drowned. And, you know, there's ways that you can be really inappropriate and funny, but then when you do it in writing, well, that really takes a lot of the context out of it.
I didn't even know about that one.
Oh, that's why Gilbert doesn't have that job anymore. Hmm. And there are people who've gotten fired from all sorts of things because of just something that they tweeted. And when you're a comedian, you're used to sort of just making a comment. Sometimes you're doing it in a room, or maybe you're just doing it with other comedians. And then it's gone right after you say it. Unless you're Michael Richards and someone films it.
Twitter,
and like I said before, you can go ahead and delete that tweet. But then that makes people notice more. It's like, well, clearly they knew it was wrong because they deleted the tweet. So that brings us to Roseanne Barr, who was
fresh out of a job.
Literally, you know, the last few months were a great story for her. The show came back. Her show, Roseanne, had been off for, I don't know, more than 10 years.
20 years.
We hadn't been off for 20 years.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah. It's 2018.
Yeah.
I know. I always do that.
Not
too.
2008.
Over 20.
You're right. Yeah. The show had been gone for about 20 years. And so it comes back. It gets high ratings. They renew it for 2 seasons. And, you know.
Like high ratings, like, as I understand it, like 5 million people watch your show. That's a hit show. And some of her episodes were up to like 25 million.
16.
So this was.
Yeah.
No, this was a huge success. And this is a success for network television,
right?
To, you know, bring people back. Like a lot of these reboots that are going on right now, this was, I would say, probably the most successful of those. And, you know, it had been a number one show when it was originally on. It was a show that I always thought was very funny. I always liked Roseanne. I always liked how outspoken she was. Then in the years when she wasn't off TV, she kind of got used to, a little conspiracy theory here, there. She ran for president. You know, used to do little things like that.
It wasn't just that. I mean, there was in 2013, she had also called somebody an ape in the Obama
administration. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, though. When you're not on television, it's like, oh, that stupid comedian said
this.
Nobody
cares, yeah.
Anyway, and then you kind of turn the page. But when you're on a broadcast network, especially the one that happens to be owned by Disney, I was surprised, not that they fired her, but that they did it so quickly.
And I was impressed with that.
I was impressed, too.
I know, very impressed.
So impressed, because money talks.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not at all convinced that someone else won't be like,
right.
We'll take the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you know, the money involved. And, you know, it's just basically... It happened so fast, you know, that like you heard about the tweets and then you're like, okay, I wonder what people are saying about it. And you're like, oh, Disney already said it's like we can't.
Refreshing that the public mm-hmm. doesn't have to go on this whole huge long boycott to do something that, you know, should be have been obvious in the first place. So the tides are turning. And I think I heard a commentator say this was an example of a corporation choosing morals over money. And I agree with that stance.
Yeah,
because well, they're giving up a lot of money.
Keeping the show was not going to be it was not going to be a winning proposition for mm-hmm. them at all. Because if it came, just hypothetically, if it came back, it would be this tarnished thing, and I think a lot of people wouldn't. You know, and Disney doesn't need that. That's the thing about being
right. They don't want to.
They don't need those kind of headaches.
Be associated no. with yeah. any
they,
sort
they don't
of...
like any kind of scandal or yeah, and so
if they can convince people that they never aired the show in the first place, they will.
Well, maybe they could take a page from Donald Trump and start, you know, doing that. And next
just
thing you know, they'll just pretend like, oh, it never happened.
I watched it on Hulu.
I know.
As far
never,
as I'm concerned, it was a
it.
Hulu show.
Oh, so we should blame Hulu. Where's the stance from Hulu? What did
yes.
I have to say?
But I did want to do like a quick like little recap of the law for listeners and viewers so that they are prepared when they hear people say like ABC just violated Roseanne Barr's First Amendment rights. Because some people are going to say that. And just, you know, true or false, a private non-government entity can violate a First Amendment right? True or false? True or false? It's false because the First Amendment is your right to free speech being infringed against the government. So there's
right.
not a free speech argument well, when we're talking about this.
And that goes back to Donald Trump with Twitter and blocking people and all that. It's that same kind of concept in the sense that he can't block citizens that disagree with him because it's the same kind of concept of like they have a right in this case yeah. to say what they want even if it's to his personal Twitter account
and him
because
to shut them down
yes.
is him acting in a government
yes,
capacity
exactly.
of squelching speech.
Right.
Sure, but I
but
think that
related,
it's the right of all Americans that we should all be allowed to block Keith Olbermann. But you know what? That's not necessarily the
but
way
But you were not
it.
The government.
That's true. Or
so
as
then,
far as you know.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wouldn't that be the craziest turnaround if we found out that Christian was like a Russian spy?
Anyway.
I mean, there's been murmurs. I mean...
Make sure you catch the series finale of The Americans tomorrow night on FX. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that anyone who tweets something like this is going to get negative feedback. And I'm just sort of wondering what happens next. You know, I mean, her co-star, Sarah Gilbert, before she was fired, even said, like, you know, this is... She said she condemned, I almost said condoned, which I realize now means the opposite, condemned the comments and said it's not reflective of the rest of the cast or the crew. It is just her. So, you know, that's sort of like, hey, you know, there's a lot of people who were about to make a lot of money off of the second and third seasons of the reboot.
Do you think that they can do a spin-off show without Roseanne?
No, because she had too much of the control of that. Because otherwise I would say the same thing, because that's where I feel sad is and it's the thing that a lot of people don't think about, especially even those Trump voters and other people, you know, are the fact that the majority of the people that work on these shows don't make the type of money that most people think, oh, everyone's just making tons and tons of money, rolling in the money, and they're all liberals and everything. But you're thinking about crew, which a lot of them are the blue-collar sense, where they're working manual labor, building sets, doing
unions.
All those things. All those really difficult jobs that really don't make a lot of money in the big scheme of things. And all those people that are now banking on a job for them and their families now do not have a job, and then they have to scramble to find a new job. So it is kind of sad when you think one person can influenced an entire crew of, you know, hundreds of people there that are now out of a job, which is really the sad thing.
Mm-hmm. And can I just say, too, that just personally, I really loved the reboot of Roseanne. I thought
yes,
it was
Tamara
so
and I
great.
Have talked about it off
I
the
thought
air.
It,
yeah.
I watched
it. So well written. It brought up a conservative viewpoint that is lacking in the mainstream now. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. Like, every time there's any sort of conservative perspective from a comedy standpoint, it's always lowest common denominator comedy. This was well written, and we needed a well-written, smart right-wing perspective. And it's part of me, it's just like, it's almost like poetic justice that, so I hate to say this, but like sometimes it's like the right is its own worst enemy, because it's, we so needed this perspective on TV right now to help bring the sides, you know, both sides together. Everything's just so divided. I say that all the time, but like, we need a smart show.
Did it make you more sensitive to the complaints of people on the right?
Yeah, I think it did. And I think it did a good job of demonstrating why somebody would vote for Donald Trump to maybe somebody who, you know, doesn't understand. I thought this show was so well done, and now she had to go and do this just completely stupid, thoughtless thing that it's...
Which was just patently racist. Like,
just
there's
racist.
Really,
right.
So,
there's no excuse for what she tweeted.
And the frustrating thing is that... And yes, it's good that she got the show taken away. And yes, it's good that Disney, the ABC acted immediately.
Decisively. Yeah.
But what's frustrating to me is that she doesn't... She... There's no regret in her mind, I guarantee. Like, she's like... This is ridiculous how sensitive people are. You can't even make a joke nowadays. I guarantee you that's what she's thinking. And what's frustrating is that, yes, her show should have, this all should have happened. I agree that this needed to happen. But I wish that there was a way that it could have happened in a way that was pointing out. I don't even think she, because I saw some back and forth before her tweets were deleted that was like, she was accused of something, she tweeted something racist. And she thought, because what was her tweet? There was the...
Somebody plus somebody.
Yeah, it was...
Equals...
Planet of the Apes, but what was the other part of it? Something I saw, she thought the racist part was the other half of it, not the Planet of the Apes. She didn't get that is what was racist.
She didn't. You're absolutely right. That's the part that she didn't get.
I think that's actually very demonstrative of there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not racist, and then use things like that. And like, right.
What she tweeted was, the quote is, the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet of the Apes had a baby. So I think that she went to...
That's right. Somebody called her racist, and she goes, Muslim is not a race. She tweeted back at them that. And it's like, you don't even understand why this is wrong. You don't even understand why what you're saying is wrong. And so...
Well, maybe this will be a lesson to other people, because sometimes when you are being attacked, I mean, your own ego just will not let you admit defeat. But if you watch somebody else make a racist comment, and then you're like, I can see that fall. Right. So hopefully this is maybe a good lesson to her followers, who will see themselves in the comments that she has made and what's happened, and then they'll I feel like
anybody that's in her corner is probably saying the same thing. They're probably like, see, everybody's so sensitive. Well,
I think at this moment, anybody who's in her corner is going to call her and say, hey, I support you. Hey, can you go and say that? No, I will not say that anywhere. You know, anybody who would support her is like, oh, I don't want to get caught in any of this shrapnel. I think there's a couple of things. There's a lot of things that can be learned from this. One is, if you run a movie studio or a television network, or you're the owner of a sports team, the first thing before you get somebody to sign a contract, you say, great, so you're going to delete all your social media and you're never going to comment that?
Oh, no, but they need social media.
No, they don't. Because look what happens.
A social media manager who's not racist.
You need somebody who approves your tweets.
Approve your tweets, right.
But
and your social media posts.
There's one way to do it, and this is not it, because this is, I would say, probably the most money that someone's lost because of one of their most expensive tweets. In terms of a comedian.
But actually, I'm glad that you brought up the sports thing, because anybody who might respond to your comment and say, well, yeah, this is just so PC, everybody is so sensitive, I would say Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the national anthem. Who's sensitive now?
They don't see it that way.
No, nobody. Yeah, exactly. Well, all I can say is, like, you know, when Trump gets impeached or resigned, then she can be the standard bearer for the GOP, and she can be president now.
So Roseanne can be president.
I mean, if Donald Trump can with everything, then no, that's her next thing. She can run in 2020. And
even more of the hypocrisy is the fact that Roseanne is against the kneeling during the national anthem. The
woman
who sang the national anthem, scratching her ass and making a mockery of the national anthem.
So she'll be our 47th president. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, Zen. And we only have another minute here.
I think Oprah might at that point step in and say, all right, people.
To Tamara's point, though, it was I thought it was a really well done show. If you look at the people that were behind the scenes, it was impressive of who was working in the writer's room on the show. And I think it turned out really well. And it is indeed something rare that spoke to a segment of the population. I'm not even talking about Trump voters. There's a lot of people who just didn't vote because they, you know, in 2016, I'm talking about, they saw who the options were and they're like, oh, no, nope, neither of them. But there are a lot of people that feel like because they didn't vote for Hillary, whether they voted for Trump or they voted for no one, they're just felt like, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to be a terrible person. And so when you have something that isn't preachy about how great the country would be right now if Hillary Clinton was president, then you feel a little bit better about it. And I think that, you know, you don't have this. And, you know, the Tim Allen show is going to come back in the fall on a new network. It was gone for a year. Those are really the, there's very few, at least on mainstream network TV, there's a lot of niche shows and things like that. And it is, you know, and look, if anything, Hollywood likes to make money. And they should realize, you know, people in those flyover states have a lot of money. How can we get some of that? But they don't care because it's more important to them to, preach.
Hey,
I'm all about making money.
Hang on.
We're out of time, Chelsea. No, we really are out
Your
of time.
Your wife's show is my favorite show, and sure. I think it beautifully preaches without preaching. That's how I think good television should preach.
Yeah, no, there are ways to preach, but I think that a lot of people feel like they're being preached to about things that are like, don't tell me how to vote. I think that that's what upsets people. It's like, you're stupid because you didn't feel the way we did on election day. And there's not a lot that speaks to people like that. And look, there's more of them than there are of us. Maybe we have more electoral votes, but I don't know. Anyway, we are indeed out of time. So,
do we have any great audience comments to go out with?
We're out of time, so it doesn't matter.
Dang.
So I care what you think,
even if Christian doesn't.
I do
post
care.
On YouTube your comments.
Yes, and we'll read them next week.
Okay.
Maybe I'll even let Chelsea read them.
I'd love to have some comments. That's right, because it was a little
We had a lot
week.
That we talked about, so please leave comments. And you can also tweet us at TrumpReportABTV. You can find me at ChristianDMZ. Chelsea?
At Chelsea Galicia.
At HeyTamara _.
And at SMan80.
And we will see all of you next Tuesday at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.